All right, hey, turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel 23. As we're going there, I do just want to say to all you guys that are dads in the house, man, you can't even fathom probably the impact that you're making in the lives of your kids. I'm a dad also. I've got 2 daughters, 8 and 6. And I just want to say to you, man, like dads, a lot of times the sacrifice that you make for your wife and your family, it goes unnoticed a lot of times, except by maybe your wife. She probably knows real well. But I just want to publicly honor you today and just let you know, just as a word from the Lord, man, that your sacrifice, when you lay down your life for your family's sake, for your wife and your kids, man, God, that pleases God's heart. That touches God's heart, and he notices. He sees everything that you've sacrificed to sow into the lives of your wife and your kids. So, man, I just appreciate you, and I hope that kind of builds you up here today. All right, man, we're kicking off this new series today called One Prayer. Everybody say One Prayer. One prayer. Yes, you can see up there on the fantastic graphic, one prayer. This is something we do every June as a church. We rally together with a whole network of churches around the world to do a message series together. We call it One Prayer. And the theme this year, as you can see, is unstoppable. Everybody say unstoppable. Unstoppable. And around the world, all these churches, this weekend, we're preaching on courage. We're talking about the unstoppable courage that comes from our identity in Christ. And I want to encourage you with this, man. Josh Turner did a great job this morning. Is anybody double dipping? Anybody double dipping? You were here this morning? Yeah, wave at me. Some of you guys are double dipping. I'm going to do my best to continue on with what he did this morning. Put your hands together, man. Pastor Josh did a great job here at Midtown earlier this morning. It was an awesome word. I'm going to hopefully add to your understanding tonight just a little bit more on it. So don't fall asleep or leave, right? Okay? Awesome. All right. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the word together. Father, we love you. And I just thank you, God. You are the best dad ever. I thank you that you're not a cold, distant father, Lord. You are our daddy. Jesus, you encourage us to even approach you, our heavenly father, with that attitude. Daddy, I love you. And man, I just thank you that for all the dads here, God, that you bless them and help them to know who they are in Christ. And I just pray for your word tonight to pierce hearts. Help your word to teach us and to show us your character tonight, Lord. That's what we really want. We don't want to leave here just the same way we came in. We came here for an encounter with the Most High God tonight. And I just thank you that your word would transform our hearts tonight as we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Awesome. All right, man. So courage, unstoppable courage. Why do we need courage? That's pretty obvious probably to most of you guys. We live in a place, in a world, in a time that sometimes, man, it can potentially be pretty scary. All right? It can be potentially pretty scary. And, man, there's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's oil spills. There's environmental disasters. There's carnies. No, man, carnies. I just had to give a little homage there real quick to Austin Powers. He's afraid of carnies. If you work at the carnival, man, don't take no offense, man. It's just a quick tribute, right? Lots of things, man, can be a little bit scary in this world that we live in. We need courage to get through. And I want to ask you this, beyond like what comes in through the news, through external sources, like what's really scary to you? What personal fears have you battled throughout your life and maybe even you're battling today? What personal fears are you doing battle with? It might be, these are things like fear of failure. These are things like fear of conflict or rejection. These are things like fear of disappointment, fear that you won't be good enough or do the right thing if you're put into a specific situation. Fear that you just won't be good enough. Fear that you'll let the Lord down, you'll let your family down, let somebody down. Man, those are fears that'll keep us from overcoming in the earth. Now, I'm sure I've shared something that probably each one of you can relate to. Here's what I want you to write down tonight. The path to your greatest potential is often straight through your greatest fear. The path to your greatest potential is often straight through your greatest fear. And let me share with you real quick, man, just to kick it off. Like, one of the things that I've dealt with over the years, this is something that over the course of my lifetime, I've had to come to terms with to keep moving forward in my life, especially in my spiritual life, to keep growing. And it's the fear of embarrassment. Now you look at me, you're like, hey, you gotta be kidding me, right? Man, if you know me for any length of time, you know that I can pretty much, man, I can just get up here or I can talk to you and just be goofy and kind of crazy and stuff, man. It wasn't always that way. I can remember all the way back to being a little kid. When I would get in a situation where I would be embarrassed, it was like terrifying. I'd cry and run and it was awful. And as I became a teenager and a young adult, it was even worse, because then it's like, you know, man, if you're the butt of a joke or somebody, you know, something embarrassing happens, you know, and the laughter is pointed at you, man, once you get a little bigger and you're 6'4" and stuff like that, you just want to punch somebody in the face to get, you stop laughing at me, bam, let me just fix the situation right now, you know, like, or I can try to control my environments or control the people around me, control what people thought of me, so that I would never be at the butt of a joke. I would always be laughing at others as opposed to waiting and letting them laugh at me. And how many of you know as a pastor, God has asked me, has to work that out of me. He's asked me to walk through some things to work that out of me. And he didn't just like poof and fix that in me. He didn't just like instantaneously, oh, I'm not filled with that kind of fear anymore. It's some things that he put me through and he asked me to walk through to work it out. And really, honestly, it comes down to pride. It comes down to pride. I was a very proud kid. I was real. That was me, man. And God has put me through some things. Many of you ladies who've been to Shine over the last few years have seen and witnessed like the tip of the iceberg, some of the things that God has asked me to do in order to work out my pride and my fear of embarrassment. One of them probably, I think we've actually got some pictures here. One of them would be like from Shine 2009. That's me as Sonny Crockett. Come on, man. I'm there with my man Tubbs, dude. MC Hammer's there. Yeah, Mr. T, dude. This is not 1984. This was actually Shine last year. Dress up in a crazy blonde wig and run around dancing and making a fool of myself. Yeah, man. It gets even worse as you go back another year. You go back another year. Let's see the next picture. We got Billy Idol. I believe Billy Idol. Yeah, here's me as Billy Idol. Come on, man. Shine, do you remember 2 years ago? Shine, Billy Idol. I had a dance competition between me and Sean Kelly dressed up as an Eminem, wearing a giant afro on his head, and he beat me. Potentially embarrassing situation. I'm right up there, man. But honestly, the piece de la resistance is yet to come. I think you might know what it is, man. Let's put it up there. That would be Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons, I spared you the trauma tonight in church of seeing my short shorts with my knee-high tube socks pulled up and watching me lead an exercise routine for 1,200 screaming women. It was... These are some of the things, man, God's like, okay, man, I've got a call on your life. I want you to speak the word of God. I want you to lead others. Here's the way through to that potential. I want you to just make a complete fool of yourself and take your pride and just wash it out the window. How about that, man? That's what that was kind of like the path. These are just, like I said, the tip of the iceberg. There's other things obviously leading up to that point, but I just wanted to share some of those great victories. Those are victories in my life. I look at those pictures, I'm like, yes, that was a moment of victory in my life. Why? Because the path to your greatest potential is often straight through your greatest fears. God's worked that embarrassment and that pride out of me. Now, God tries to rear its ugly head every once in a while. You got to be on your alert about it. But I'll tell you what, man, God's done great things. He's walked me through that. We're going to look at the Bible. Let's land this thing spiritual quick after that horrifying image of me with that wig on. Let's look at a guy in the Bible, man. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is a guy named Benaiah. Everybody say Benaiah. Benaiah is a man of great courage. We're going to look at his story here real quick in the Bible. But he was a man of great courage in the Bible. He's only got a couple of verses about his life that give testimony to his life. But he was a powerful man, one of David's strongest fighting men. He was one of the top leaders in the Israelite army, one of the generals, one of David's mighty men. Let's take a look what it says to him, or says about him in 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 20. It says, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. And they must have been really good men. I mean, he got a verse in the Bible about it. They might have been some really good men. Or he had some great technique. He's like, takes out the two greatest men in Moab. It made it in the Bible, so it must have been good. Goes on to say, he also went, check it out, he went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Great exploits. Verse 21, and he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Man, that's a ridiculous story. The first thing I thought of when I read that is I thought of David against Goliath, right? David's seriously underarmed against Goliath. He goes in to battle against the giant Goliath and ends up knocking him down with he's just got this sling, bam, knocks him down, takes Goliath's sword and chops off Goliath's head with his own sword. That's powerful, man. So how about that? Benaiah, this guy Benaiah, he's cut from the same cloth as David. It's amazing. He made it into the Bible because of his courage, his tremendous courage. Now that verse 20, where it talks about this one, this is where we're going to kind of point to here. It says, he also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. I love that story. Can you just picture that in your head, like what that scene must have been like? It's like wintertime. This is back in the day before Timberlands and combat boots, you know what I'm saying, before Finsulate. He goes on, it's a snowy day, and he goes down into a pit after a lion and kills it in its place of strength, and it's dead in its home. He goes down after them. He wasn't being chased by a lion. He wasn't cornered by a lion. He goes after a lion and kills it. Maybe some say he's crazy. Could be crazy. Could be a little bit crazy. Could be a little bit of both. But I would say he's courageous. We don't know why. It doesn't say in the Bible specifically why you would go into a pit and chase down a lion on a snowy day and kill it. But he definitely did. It took great courage for him to do that. And Mark Batterson, you might have read this book a couple years ago. We actually had a group study, went through this book a couple times for a couple semesters. Mark Batterson's book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. He said something really great as he kind of broke out this passage of scripture and did this character study on Benaiah. He said, people with unstoppable courage chase lions. People with unstoppable courage chase lions. And think about that. They don't just wait for the lions to come after them. They're in a defensive place all the time. If you got unstoppable courage, before the lion comes after you, you go down to the place where that lion lives. Even if it's not the right environment, even if the situation is tough, even if it's not on your side, all the odds and statistics aren't on your side to come out victorious, you go after those things and kill them before they have a chance to come after you. How about that? That's unstoppable courage that Benaiah displays here as he goes down into a pit and goes after that lion. He chases down that lion. Don't just people of unstoppable courage, they don't just simply wait and have a spirit of fear that makes them withdraw from the challenges that they face and from their fears. They go after these things in the power of God and destroy them. Think about 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I think about 1 Peter where it says too that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. You guys are with me, all right, fill in the blanks on that, right? The enemy goes around like a roaring lion. Like is the operative word there. Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's the enemy, the spiritual enemy of our souls. But check it out, you weigh those two scriptures together. You think about 1 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And you weigh that out with the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. It doesn't say the enemy is a roaring lion who is going to devour you. It says he prowls around like a roaring lion, posturing, trying to intimidate the enemy, trying to corner you, trying to trap you. But it doesn't say that he has the power to do it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And I love how, actually in our celebration reading plan this last week in Psalm 58, when I came across this, I'm like, oh, that's good, man. Psalm 58, verse 6, it says this. It says, this is David praying out, just calling out prayer to God, man. He's going after God in prayer. He says, break the teeth in their mouths, speaking of his enemies. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Tear out, O Lord, the fangs of the lion. You see, the enemy of our souls is a toothless lion. He's a toothless lion. He prowls around, posturing, and trying to corner us and trying to intimidate us through fear. But see, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. When we know the truth sets us free from the tactics and the strongholds and the strengths of the enemy. The enemy wants you to believe that he's got you trapped and cornered. He wants you to live in fear. He does not want you to achieve the things, the fullest potential that God has set aside for you. And if he can keep you cornered by fear, he's got you. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. God strengthens us by his word. When we know the truth sets us free. And here's the truth. I love this in Colossians 2. It says this, that when Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the earth and raised in power on the third day, and now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father in heaven. That's our God. He's not some withered up, shriveled up God that you might see all, on a cross, just all hurting. No. Jesus reigns in power and authority over the heavens and the earth right now. This very moment, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, ruling all the heavenly realms, the physical and the spiritual realms, ruling in power and all authority. Remember that scripture says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, where Jesus says that in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. The enemy has no power and no authority of his own. You understand that? Come on, man, one person got you. You got to put your hands together for God. That's it. When we understand that the devil has no power, he's just roaring, he's making noise, and he's a toothless lion. He wants to corner you, intimidate you, and posture you, but you overcome him by the word of God. You overcome him when you know the truth, when your eyes are on God and not on the lions. We're going to look at that here in a second. The path to your greatest potential is sometimes through your greatest fear? What lion has got you cornered right now? What lion is keeping you from the destiny and the call of God to be the awesome godly man, the awesome godly woman, to be the awesome godly parent, to be the awesome godly spouse, to be the awesome godly missionary, to be the awesome godly homemaker, to be the awesome godly business person, whatever it is? What lion has you cornered right now? I'll tell you right now, if fear has got you bound, it's a toothless lion. The Lord finished the work on Calvary. He took the power of the enemy away from him on that day, 2,000 years ago. We got to walk in that. Come on, church. We're going to look. I want to just show you two important qualities we'll need to develop to have unstoppable courage to overcome those things. Man, we're going to chase down lions, and we're going to give them the smackdown that they deserve. Are you with me? If you're with me, say, oh, yeah. Come on, we're going to chase down lions, and we're going to give them what they deserve. We're going to put them in their place. Here's how you can develop unstoppable courage, two simple ways tonight. First is that people with unstoppable courage, they don't look at their lions, they look at their God. All right, people with unstoppable courage, they don't look at their lions, they look in their God. And there's a great example of this, one of my favorite examples of courage and of this particular. This isn't just, you know, oh, I came up with some great points. This is a biblical principle that transcends Old and New Testament. The people with unstoppable courage, they don't look at their lions, they look at their God. Let's look at it right now in Joshua chapter 1. This guy, Joshua. Everybody say Joshua. Right on, man. You may or may not be familiar with the story. Joshua is Moses' aide. Joshua is Moses' understudy, his right-hand man, his armor-bearer, and he trains up under Moses. Moses dies, and Joshua is about to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. All right, Joshua, that task, that mission, that calling, that falls to Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, man, God's giving him his pep talk. He's filling him with unstoppable courage for the task that he's called him to. You remember Joshua and Caleb were two spies that came back. There was a group of spies went out in the promised land. They come back. The majority of all these spies, they're all like, oh, man, the people are too big. The walls of the cities will never take the land. Joshua and Caleb are like, God's giving it to us. Let's go. Let's roll out right now. We'll take them. We'll throw the smackdown on those lions. Joshua has that courage. He gets it from the Lord. Well, the Lord is filling up Joshua with a brand new dose of unstoppable courage. I love this. He's giving him he's downloading this to him in prayer. I love it. He says this in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you, Joshua, will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Say that with me. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Famous verse here, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. And here you go in verse 9. I love this. Have I not commanded you? Say it together with me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And everybody in Celebration Church said, amen. Come on, man. You love that. Be strong and courageous. This phrase isn't just, you know, God like blowing smoke to Joshua. I'm not saying be strong and courageous, man. Lift some weights and have no fear. You know, there's something powerful about this phrase. It has become a battle cry for Joshua and his people as they go to take the promised land. Be strong and courageous. He says it three times there. And what you find as you read on here, by the end of the chapter, all the people of Israel are repeating it back to him. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with us. Be strong and courageous. It's a powerful moment that Joshua gets this word from the Lord. Be strong and courageous. And then he transfers it out to the people. They go walk into their destiny and start taking cities. They cross the Jordan and start taking cities. It's a powerful moment in the history of Israel. Now check this out. The three times in that passage from verse 6 to verse 9, there are three times that he says, be strong and courageous. The first time, it's prophetic. Look what he says in verse 6 there. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. All right, you will lead these people to inherit the land. He doesn't say, man, if you're strong and courageous, you might have some victory in battle, you know, and it depends on your faith and how it's going to go. He says, look, Joshua, be strong and courageous. You are about to take the promised land. All right, that's a promise from God that Joshua can stand on. You need that when you're going to take new ground. Can I hear you say, oh yeah? You need the word of God to give you that courage. Be strong and courageous. Everybody say, be strong and courageous. So the first time God says that to Joshua, it's prophetic. He's saying, be strong and courageous. This is what's going to happen. The second time, it's instructional. He says, be strong and very courageous. And he gives him some instruction. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or the left. So basically he says, stick with me. Be strong and courageous. You're going to take the land. Be strong and courageous. Stay faithful to me. Are you with me? You're taking the land. Stay faithful to me. Third time he says it to him, it's motivational. He says to him, it's encouragement. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You're taking the land. Just be faithful to me, and I will be with you wherever you go. Come on, man. That feels you. Think about how that translates to our lives today. Think about how that translates, how that speaks. That same word speaks into your land. Something that God has promised you. That you're about to walk into there. He's promised you. He's prophesied it over you. He's spoken it over you. This is the plan that I have for you, says the Lord, right? He's given you a word. He's given you a vision, a direction that you're going in your life. Be strong and courageous. Stay faithful to God. He will be with you wherever you go. Come on, that's powerful stuff. Are you with me? Come on, it's Sunday night sizzle. Be strong and courageous. Everybody say, be strong and courageous. I'm telling you what, if that's all you remember from tonight, man, you're going to be fired up. But I want you to see... I don't have this on the PowerPoint, but I really wanted you to see something else that I really kind of, I felt like I needed to share with you about this as well. Obviously, this is Old Testament. I want to show you something in the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament, it's all type and shadow. It all points to Jesus, right? Are you with me on that? Say, oh yeah. So everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus and the fulfillment of the Old Testament. It all came through Jesus. And so I wanted to show you in Luke chapter 8, where there's another story of this same kind of thing happening with Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. If you don't have your Bibles, no worries, man. Just follow along with me. I'll read it to you. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. All right, it doesn't say that. It says they were in great danger. All right, there's definitely peril. Just like Joshua was facing peril, there was all kinds of terrible things he was going to have to face in the promised land, right? The disciples, man, they're in danger in this situation. The disciples, in verse 24, go and they wake up Jesus. They say, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. That's what he says to him in verse 25. Like, where's your faith? That's all Jesus has to say about that. It's just like, where's your faith? He asked his disciples that. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. How about this story? See the parallels in here from that story about the Old Testament, about the Israelites crossing the Jordan and taking the promised land? Do you see the parallels here? The first thing Jesus says to his disciples is something prophetic. He says, let's go over the other side of the lake. We are going to the other side of the lake. He doesn't say, we're going to do our best to get over the other side of the lake. If a storm comes up, we might drown. He says, we're going to the other side of the lake. It's prophetic. He speaks that over them. What happens next? They follow his instructions. So they got into a boat and set out. All right, they took this first step of faith with Jesus to get into the boat and go with him and set sail across the lake. The storm comes. Jesus calms the storm. This is the part that's really encouraging. I love this. This is the part that's really encouraging. He just says, where's your faith? After he calms the storm and saves them and delivers them, he's like, man, why are you so afraid? The part that the disciples missed, they didn't realize that they had God in the boat with them. They had the Son of God in the boat with them. I like to think that if I was there in this particular situation, I would be the man of faith just camped out in the back just like, what? Jesus is on board. It's not we're going to sink. What's wrong with you guys? I like to think that'd be me, cool as the other side of the pillow, right? Just chilling out. Yeah, man, what's the big deal? A little storm. Oh, I've rode bigger waves than this. You know, something like that. I imagine I would have been terrified just like the rest of them. In hindsight, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, I wasn't scared. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's what they didn't realize, that they had God with them. They had nothing to be afraid of. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's Jesus telling that to you right now? Say, man, where's your faith? What are you so afraid of? What do you say? I'm going to take care of the storm. See how they got their eyes off God. Instead of looking at, man, I got God in the boat with me. They're looking at the waves, the wind, the storm, the situation. I'm terrified, petrified. We're all going to die. They're looking at the very real danger around them. It wasn't like they were not in danger. It was like danger, man. They were in great danger. It says so. They're looking around at all that stuff instead of focusing on God with them. Man, how about that? The path to your greatest potential, right? It often goes through your greatest fear. The way that you get that courage to get through, man, is you don't focus on the lines. Don't focus on the storms. Don't focus on the troubles. You focus on God. That's right. Come on, put your hands together because he's for you. He is with you. Come on, man. We don't look at our lines, man. We look at our God. That's good stuff. Second point, man. People with unstoppable courage understand that avoiding the lions is not an option. Ouch. People with unstoppable courage understand that avoiding the lions is not an option. All right, think about the disciples being like, nah, man, I ain't going to the other side of the lake. A storm might come up. You know? Just avoid the storm. You know, maybe they're fishermen and they know how to read the weather. You know, man, they just be like, yeah, storm coming in, Jesus. I don't think we should go across. They got in the boat and they went across and Jesus performed a miracle and they experienced God with them. But people with unstoppable courage, they know that avoiding the lions is not an option. Letting the lion sleep in the pit is just as dangerous as going in after it. Because you never know when the lion's going to come out and devour you. Are you with me? If you got a lion in your life, it's a bad thing. You need to go after that thing and kill it. As overcomers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, God has not called us to avoid the lions or avoid the storms or avoid the promised land with all of the inhabitants therein. He's called us to go in to be more than conquerors, and it's going to take unstoppable courage. You're going to have to face your fears, face your lions, face the things that are bringing you down, the things that you're petrified of, keep you frozen in fear. You're going to have to face those things as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. We have to go through those things because that is the way to the promised land. It's the way to the other side of the lake. It's the way to keep your family on track with God. Everything, it all comes from facing those fears. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that famous faith chapter. Famous faith chapter. I love it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Just very simply, that first part of that scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm sure you've heard that, whether you've even ever opened a Bible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do we understand the magnitude of that statement? You want to wait till you have it all figured out, how it's going to work? You got all your plans set, all your strategies laid? You want that, man? You're on your own. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to play it safe? You want to just kind of, man, it's okay if that lion hangs out there for a while. The promised land's great, but I don't know, man. It's pretty dangerous, pretty tricky. Man, you're on your own. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to leave the things the way they are in your life, maybe a broken relationship, an addiction you're struggling with, the call of God on your life to go into something greater. Man, you want to wait till you got it all figured out? To fight that thing, to face it, to change. Man, you're on your own. But if you get in the boat, take that first step, you set sail with the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me ask you this tonight, and I'd ask you if you have your pen and your paper, your Bible, something there, what is that line that you've been avoiding? What is that line that you've been avoiding? Write it down right now. Man, like if you know, man, if the Lord's been dealing with you on this, you're like, man, what is... Man, that thing that you need to overcome, that personal fear, that struggle, that thing that you've been going through, if you know what that is, write it down right now in your Bible, in your notes, somewhere. Write it down so that you don't forget this moment when the Holy Spirit is challenging you right now to take a step of faith. All right, it's real easy to walk out the doors at the end of a service and forget. Write it down right now. And I want to encourage you, man, to go after that thing. Follow the Lord. We follow him by faith. Follow the Lord. And I want you to remember this. I already said it, but I just want to reiterate it. If you let the lion sleeping in the pit hang out long enough, it's eventually going to come out. It may devour you. It may devour your family. It may devour your kids. It may devour your calling. You let that fear hang out and hang out and just kind of avoid it. Man, that guy, man, he messed me up. I'm not going to talk to him. You know, man, that guy, he totally ruined my reputation. I'm not. Man, you need to go kill that lion. You need to take out the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God, forgive the person, go to him and tell him, man, I love you and I forgive you and all's well. How about that, man? I say that like it's nothing. That's hard to do. It's hard when you got unforgiveness. Is a lion that's just a sleeping lion in a pit waiting to devour you? That's unforgiveness. That's offense. Those things are waiting to devour us and steal the call of God on our lives. You got an addiction that you're like, oh, I'll fix it, I'll fix it, I'll fix it, I'll fix it, I'll fix it. Eventually, man, that thing comes out of the pit and devours your kids. Don't wait for that to happen. As an overcomer, as a Christian, go after these things and destroy them by the power of God that is within you. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive, living, and active inside of you. The same Holy Spirit that moved in Jesus when he was on the earth, that same Holy Spirit is alive inside of you. I'm not saying you can go out, man, and hey, wind, waves, calm down. Who knows? God may answer that prayer. He may not, you know. If it's good and it's going to make it in the Bible, maybe he will. But all right, man. I just wanted to check, make sure you were still with me. Avoiding the lines is not an option. People with unstoppable courage, they know that. Go after that line that you wrote down. It's going to make all the difference in your life. Just destroy that thing. Clean house with that thing. Why? It's toothless anyway. What do you got to be afraid of, man? Come on. Put your hands together for the Lord. It's toothless anyway. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, man. Go after that thing and kill it. Slay that thing. Give it the beat down of a lifetime. Come on, man. Take that thing out. I want to close with this. Does having unstoppable courage mean the fear is going to go away? That, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be, oh, I'm not afraid. Killing lions. No. No. Really, honestly, the fear just doesn't go away. We have to move through the fear. We don't wait for the fear to go away, and then that's our cue to proceed forward, man. We go through it. We're afraid. I got to say, man, when I was dressed up as Richard Simmons, back in the back, waiting to go out in front of 1,200 women and lead a workout thing for Shine one morning, I got to say, man, I was shaking in my boots. I'm like, I can't believe I'm about to do this, man. What a fool, you know? And then it just came out and did it. And I know, man, I share my failures with you. Hopefully you get something funny out of that. And you don't just remember the picture of me with the wig out of tonight. Hopefully you remember be strong and courageous. Hopefully you remember that the path to your greatest potential is often through your greatest fears. We've got to feel the fear and face it anyway, man. Just go for it. Just step out. Get in the boat and go with Jesus. Go into the promised land. Don't wait for the fear to go away. Just move out into that thing that God's called you to do. Amen. Can you envision what our church would be like if every single one of us made a commitment to that? If every single one of us, not one of us let that line of unforgiveness lay around. If not one of us let that line of just like a financial line, like a line of lack. I hate the line of lack. The line of lack says, man, you don't have enough, man. You'll never have enough. You need more. Go buy more. Consumerism comes, that line come to devour, man. Here's the truth of God says that in Christ Jesus, we have more than enough. We have everything we need in Christ Jesus. That's what the truth of the word of God says. But the line of lack comes along and says, nah, man, you need more. You need more. You need more. You don't have enough. You don't have what it takes. Man, you're going to beat that thing up. Here's how I want to close tonight, man. If you guys, if we as a church, not just here at Midtown in the Annex, but all across the globe, if we'll come together and we won't leave these things laying around in our lives, if we'll attack them, we'll attack our fears with the power of God and the truth of God, I'll tell you what, man, can you imagine a church filled of people like that? A church filled of people who are just completely completely forgiving, just radically forgiving, radically giving, radically loving, radically generous, radically stepping out into the promises and the call of God on their lives. Can you imagine what God could do through our church? Oh, man. Come on, man. Put your hands together for God. Did you get something out of this tonight? You have a part to play in that. We're going to close in prayer. Why don't we all stand to our feet? We're going to have the band come back up, and we're going to have just a time of response. And what I pray tonight is that, man, if God's stirring something on your heart, he's doing something great in your heart, man, he's revealed maybe a fear, something that has been holding you back, something that's been waiting to devour you, that tonight you'd face that thing up. Man, you just take that thing, drag it to the foot of the cross, and kill it tonight. That you'd have the courage that it takes to do that. Man, when you have the courage to take that first step, man, God will fill you with unstoppable courage. He'll fill you with his strength, which is what we really need. Amen? Let's bow our heads together. We're going to pray. I just want to ask, if you're here tonight, man, and you've been facing some nasty fear, an addiction, unforgiveness, anger, rage, if you've been facing a financial situation, something's just devouring you, and tonight, man, you want to just make a commitment. God, I want to step out with you, and I want to kill this thing once and for all. Once and for all, I'm going to attack this thing. I'm not going to leave this thing laying around anymore in my life. If that's you, would you just signify, hold up your hand to God, say, that's me, God. I'm going after this thing. Praise the Lord. Hands up all over, man. Awesome. Awesome. That's between you and God. You can put them down. I want to ask you this too before we go to this next song. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, here's the deal. Without Jesus, the enemy is still alive, still very real, and still has fangs. There's judgment that rests on you for your sins. And honestly, if you were to die today, you'd be separated from God forever. But God has done something about it. What had to be done was that God had to send his son Jesus as a sacrifice to die on the cross, to be buried in the ground, be raised again on the third day. And when God did that, when he sent his son, and when Jesus completed that, he purchased our redemption. He purchased our salvation. He purchased the power and the unstoppable courage of God for us. But you need to receive it. You need to receive it. And if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want to say to you tonight, man, be strong and courageous. You don't want to leave this lion laying around because it will devour you at some point. Be strong and courageous and make a stand for Christ and say, God, it is more important than anything else. It's more important than my pride. It's more important than my life to get right with you and to be your son, to be your daughter. If you're here today and you want to make your peace with God and say, God, save me. Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, would you put a hand up in the air today? Be strong and courageous, man. Don't be afraid. This is between you and God. Man, in the annex too. Come on, put your hands up, man. This is between you and God. Be bold. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see those hands. Praise God. Amen. You can put them down. Let me pray for you. Father God, you've seen our hands tonight and you know our hearts. Lord, I just pray for those who are asking for courage, God, that's a prayer you love to answer. That's a prayer you love to answer, Lord. Right now, I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit, not the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Your Holy Spirit, come in and fill us up with the strength that we need to face that lion in our lives. God, we know we need you. That's why we raised our hands tonight, man. We know we need you. We're asking for you to come in to do it, God. And I lift up those who have raised their hands to receive salvation, to receive Jesus as their Savior. Tonight, God, help them to make that thing real in their hearts, that decision that they're making. God, I just pray that right now you'd help them to make that real. Let's pray together, church, and encourage them along. I want to lead you in this prayer. And if you're saying this for the first time, man, you got to know that you know that you know that God hears this prayer and you're becoming a child of God. Pray this with me. Say, Father God, I've been running from you and I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And right now, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and restore me to right relationship with my dad in heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.